Hey, we will go ahead and get started. The time is now 12:02 p.m. on January 6th, 2025, and I call the meeting of the Committee on Behavior Analysts to order. This meeting is video hosted using Zoom. The public and parties on this agenda have been properly noticed of this fact and have been supplied with meeting access instructions. Ms. Malice, would you please call roll?
Yes, Madam Chair. Dr. Byra, Dr. Davey.
Present.
Thank you. Ms. Denton,
Present.
Dr. Stenhoff,
Present.
and Dr. Rates is absent for this meeting. We do have a quorum.
Okay, now that we have quorum, we'll just make a few general remarks. At this time, it is always prudent that we acknowledge the work of board staff, that we acknowledge the work of committee members who designate and devote their time to ensuring that we can get more behavior analysts licensed in the state of Arizona, of ensuring that we are a state that regulates the practice of behavior analysis to protect the public, and the hard work that board staff as well as committee members put in cannot go unnoticed. We will also acknowledge that the Arizona Board of Psychologist Examiners is approved by the BACB as an ACE continuing education provider. Attending a meeting of the Board's Committee on Behavior Analysts is eligible for continuing education credit for maintenance of BACB certification as well as Arizona licensure renewal. To claim credit, pending this meeting is at least 50 minutes long, make note of the code words provided hourly through the meeting by board staff. To report code words to board staff for purposes of earning continuing education, look for the link on the board's meeting page for this particular meeting. Board staff will verify licensees earned credits for attending their meeting in their CE broker accounts. Licensees will be able to view the entered and verified credit within 2 to 3 weeks of this meeting. Okay, this is also my last meeting as chairwoman of this committee. And in February, we will welcome in our new chair, Dr. Byra, who will be taking over as chair for these meetings. So I will proceed through today and will so graciously pass off the reins to Dr. Byra for next month. Okay, I think that is all of our general announcements. Just keep in mind that we are only going through applications today. There are no complaints that are being reviewed today. So the meeting does have to be at least 50 minutes long in order to count for that continuing education. Okay, we will move into agenda item number 4, which is the approval of minutes. The approval of minutes are for December 6th, 2024 regular session minutes, as well as December 6th, 2024 executive session minutes. Are there any recusals that need to be noted before we approve these minutes? Okay. Is there a motion to approve
So
the.
moved.
Okay. So moved by Dr.
Second.
Levy, seconded by Dr. Stenhoff. All in favor, say aye.
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 Aye. All opposed? Nay. The motion carries. Okay. We also have on the agenda today discussion, consideration, and possible action regarding proposed legislation, including, but not limited to, a bill to establish an independent board to license and regulate behavior analyst Ms. Pakkinen, as well as our guest speaker Brandi Patron, and Aziaba leadership are here to make a brief presentation on this and provide an update to the state. Ms. Pakkinen, would you like to kick us off for this agenda item?
Certainly, I have very little to say, but Ms. Patron is here and prepared to deliver the update that she was unable to do last month when airline flight delays thwarted our plans. At any rate, with in the last month, there may have been even more developments. So it's not too tardy to hear from her relative to this bill, and I'm sure the members will have questions. That being said, she can't spend very much time with us, so we'll need to be efficient with this agenda item. So, Ms. Patron, if you're ready, the floor is yours.
Thank you all. Good morning. And I have to first apologize for my voice. I came back from vacation with a cold. So with great with Zoom, at least I'm not giving it to you all. So I appreciate that. And again, as Ms. Packinen said, I do apologize that we weren't able to make it for your last meeting. Again, Brandy Patron with Goodman Schwartz Public Affairs on behalf of the Arizona Association for Behavior Analysis. We did want to provide the committee with an update related to the legislation that we plan to introduce again this legislative session. I think all of you were part of the committee last year, but just as a reminder, AZABA did introduce legislation last year with Representative Bliss as our sponsor to work to create a separate board for behavior analysis. We had appreciated your all's support in that effort last year. I think you all are very well aware of the work that behavior analysts are doing here in Arizona and the need, quite frankly, to create a separate board as the profession has grown. So this was an important issue for AZABA to move forward last legislative session. Unfortunately, as you all know, the bill did not make it last legislative session. We did have some concern from Senate leadership at the time. We took the interim to educate Senate leadership, and we do believe that now that Senate leadership has a better understanding of what we're trying to do and that we really are not creating new regulation, we are really trying to streamline the process for behavior analysts and for the public, and quite frankly, for board members and staff from an administrative perspective as well. We do believe that this year we have a better chance, no guarantees. But we have definitely had the opportunity to really better explain what this is, quite frankly, and what it's not. Which, again, it's not new regulation. As you all know, the profession itself is already regulated. We're just trying to simplify how this works for everybody. So we are reintroducing the exact same legislation from last legislative session. We did ask Ms. Packinen to relook at it. I know she shared it with the committee and the board as well, to make sure that there wasn't anything that we missed last year. To my knowledge, we haven't missed anything. Representative Bliss does plan to drop the bill actually today. So we are planning to see a bill number this week. And so we'll make sure that Ms. Packinen sees that as well. As you all might be aware, Ms. Bliss is now the chair of the House Health and Human Services Committee. So we also hope that that gives us a better shot as well in talking to the committee members that we have so far in the Arizona House of Representatives. Again, very good response to what we are doing again this year. One thing that I did want to update Dr. Davy on, I know I was able to present at the psychologist board meeting, and one of the questions that was brought up was wanting to make sure that we weren't going to have any issues with the membership from the committee moving over to the board. And I just wanted to confirm, Dr. Davy, that the language does exist in the bill as it did last year, that the members of the committee on behavior analysts that are there and in existence when the bill goes into effect simply move over as the new members of the committee or as the board members. So we should have no issues there when it comes to quorum or making sure we don't have to go out and fight new members. So I did want to confirm that for you since that was the question that came out at the psychologist board meeting. And Ms. Dent, with that, I'm happy to answer any questions for the committee.
Do any committee members have questions for Ms. Patron?
Madam Chair, thank you, Ms. Patron, for looking into that matter with regard to the kind of the switchover should the bill be passed and signed into law. As the second part of that question was making sure that we did not leave the psychologists in some sort of diminished capacity. Was there any? Did you have any further discussion about that, or are you at least open to having some of that discussion with Ms. Packinen to make sure that that goes smoothly going forward?
Dr. Day, we appreciate that question. You're right. No, so the psychology board will not have any issues either from a quorum consideration because we simply take off the behavior analysts and don't make any other changes to the board.
Okay. And I just want to make sure that with Ms. Hakkinen, that as we get, I'm going to speak very positively that everything's going to go well. As we move forward towards that, that we closely monitor the number of psychologists and public members on the board to make sure that we're not putting them at some sort of disadvantage should there be an open seat or someone that's recently resigned. And so just want to make sure that we're not, while we're moving over, we're not impeding any of the process for the psychology board that's graciously hosted us for so many years. So I just appreciate if we kind of keep our eye on that as we get closer. I know it's in the future after the bill passes, but it's just something for us to watch for. And then my last question, Ms. Patron, is, and I think Heidi spoke to you about this, is just the bill is the bill as it stands now, and we think that we're going to keep it that way. Just talk to me a little bit about a cleanup bill that'll run a year later, where there might be some language, some things that we may want to update with regard to, whether it's ethics code, supervision, whatever it might be that we're interested in. Now is not the time to do that. And the bill is my understanding. The bill we want to run as clean as possible as to not create any additional questions, but that there's obviously a trailer bill that will go in the works for the next session where we would address any of those particular issues that we feel need to be cleaned up in rule and statute.
Dr. Javi, great question. So yeah, there were some cleanup we were able to make in this legislation. As you all might recall, the profession itself was, I'm going to say, stuck into the Board of Psychologists from a statutory perspective. So essentially what happened was when the committee rule, when the regulation was created for behavior analysts, it was really a copy-paste job where we copy the psychologist regulation and sort of behavior analyst into there. And so there were some things that have been odd and weird, as you all know, in the statutory. So where we were able to fix that in this bill, we did do that. To your point, though, Dr. Damey, from a policy perspective, we've tried to make sure that that's from a cleanup perspective, not a policy decision. So you're right. If once we're able to get moved over from a overall concern from a regulation perspective, if there are additional updates that behavior analyst community wants to make, that is definitely something that we can do after we're able to get the board created. To your point, we did want to make sure that we stuck with the overarching goal of getting the new board created and then later at a later date creating some cleanup. But I will tell the committee there are, as a reminder, there are definitely some cleanups in here that we were able to put in because recognizing that this was an issue that had been there from the very beginning because we use psychology statutes to start with. So we did make those cleanup changes.
Thank you very much, Ms. Patron. Appreciate all the work that you and your counterparts are doing on this and AZABA's leadership working towards this. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Dr. Byra, I saw that initially you had your hand up. Did Dr. Davies' questions answer your questions? Okay, perfect. Any other questions from committee members?
Madam Chair, not a question, but by virtue of the circumstances, I don't think a recommendation is needed from the committee because the board had opportunity to hear this information prior to the committee. And so the consensus was very much a reflection of, continue to support this goal in 2025.
And just as a matter of, all the stakeholders who are here today, what this would mean is if behavior analysts are able to establish an independent board, there will be presumed efficiencies that are improved upon. So what we would look at here is any of you who applied today, any of you who are applicants received an email, most likely, as soon as you applied, saying due to the limitations that are placed in here, you won't see any movement for 30 to 60 days in your portal. This is just the reality of where we are. So whenever we are looking at why we want to establish a board, it is largely for efficiency sake, as well as, you know, the profession has grown so much that we should be in a place where we are able to self-regulate. So if you are looking at ASIABA and you are seeing the lobbying efforts that they are engaging in, that might be a reason why you want to support the lobbying efforts that are going on. Okay, any other discussion on this agenda item before we move into the meat of our meeting? Okay, seeing none, we will move on to agenda item number six. Agenda item number six is discussion, consideration, and possible action regarding recommendation to the board pertaining to the approval of behavior analyst applicants. We are going to move through the applications, each committee member as at a time. Dr. Davey will start the application review process. Before we move into any of the application reviews, are there any acknowledgments or recusals that need to be noted?
Madam Chair, I'm recused from item 14.
Okay. So noted. Okay, we will move on to you, Dr. Davey. You have applicants number 1 through 6, including Maggie Wade, Jessica Prang, Soraya Smith, Tova Mensch, Chauncey Franklin, and Sierra Mariano.
Yes, thank you, Madam Chair. I'm going to take these in two chunks. The first is going to be those that that through review of the files, including the applicant's education, supervised experience, examination performance, and declarations that I find to be administratively and substantively complete. And those are application 6A1, Maggie Wade, 6A3, Soraya Smith, 6A4, Tova Minsk, and then I have three others that are substantially complete but have some administrative cleanup that I would just like board staff to attend to. The first I'll take is 6A2 for the cleanup, Jessica Parang. There are some dates on her supervisor application. She filled out the Excel spreadsheet for us that just seemed to be a little bit off. I think in one case, column 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, where she lists the date of BCBA certification. I believe she actually lists her own BCBA certification versus that of her supervisor. So nothing that worth holding this up, but just to get that corrected going forward and to make sure that we have the right dates on there. And so that one, I believe, is just an administrative issue that can be handled and not to slow this up. With regard to application number 6A5, Chauncey Franklin, again, going to the supervisor form, it is partially incomplete. There is no date of BCBA certification or date BCBA certified, date the supervision training was completed for the supervisor, as well as the supervisor's name being incomplete, as well as the end date being incomplete as well. So again, that needs to be complete. That information exists elsewhere in the application, but that is not completed. And then for application 6A6, Soraya Mariano, the only issue I had there was with regard to the fourth supervisor, and that was actually listed first supervisor, Stephanie Mueller. Board staff has since rectified the issue there. Just wanted to make sure that they were still... we had their licensure information, just looking that there was no issues here in Arizona. I've confirmed that. And so actually that one could be moved to the latter group. There are no administrative cleanups, thanks to board staff working so quickly to complete the application. Thank you, Madam Chair. Also want to give a shout out to Z for answering my late night questions last night with a few other updates around BCBA certification. A few of our applicants' BCBAs had Their certifications had dropped out in November while they were waiting for us to go through this. As he was putting together the packets, just wanted to make sure that those supervisors were still in good standing, and she has confirmed that. So thank you, Z.
Okay, we will move on to applications number 7 through 13. I am the lead on these applications. I will be reviewing Veronica Steinhoff, Heather Middleton, Drew Mercer, Rebecca Dalmalin, Lisa Drum, Ashley Roberts, and Giselle Ray Sandin. I will also chunk these up into two separate groups. The first group, in my review of their files, including their education, supervised experience, examination performance, and declarations, I find them to be both administratively and substantively complete. The applicants who are in this list include a couple of individuals that we had issued fares to. They supplied the necessary information to move over into this recommendation for approval to the full board. So this includes Giselle Ray Sandam, Ashley Roberts, Lisa Drum, Rebecca Dalmalin, and Veronica Steinhoff. There are two applications that there are there's clarification that I need on one of them. And it's not a substantive issue, but it is an administrative issue. For Drew Mercer, he has two different addresses listed in his application. I don't know if Drew is on the call by chance. If you are, feel free to unmute for a moment. Okay. Well, with that being said, he lists his address as in Texas, in Fort Worth, Texas, in the application. However, the BACB verification of his certification lists his address in Virginia Beach, as well as his Virginia license, because he is licensed in a couple of different states, lists his address as being in Virginia Beach. So I think we need the correct address on file to move this forward. What do we think, committee members? I mean, the supervised experience, the education, you know, all of those pieces are all in place, but we don't know where he lives.
Madam Chair, I would agree that we do need his current address.
So perhaps we issue a fare for this one just to get the updated correct address. I'm not certain whether he lives in Texas or Virginia. Both are wonderful places to live. We just don't know where.
Should we? Oh, sorry. I see Ms. Pakenham's my question, Madam Chair.
Oh, I just wanted to, just for the benefit of everyone here, sort of offer this as an opportunity to inform not only the applicant, but, you know, all applicants of the statutory requirement, which is reiterated in a rule that any contact information must be supplied to the board within 30 days of the change of information. So that is to include any, you know, physical or mailing address, telephone number, and email address. So the language is inclusive of all of that. So it isn't uncommon for us to see instances where an LBA or an applicant, they have failed to fulfill this requirement. And there are the board can elect to impose consequences for failure to do that. So this is really an opportunity to raise that awareness.
Dr. Davey, did you have something you wanted to add?
No, Ms. Packman said it beautifully.
Okay. The other application is for Heather Middleton. This is applicant number 8. As we look at this application, I think there is just some there's some questions that need to be answered. In the supervised verification form that was sent in on item number 11, where we ask, was the supervisor conducting the supervised experience a relative, subordinate, or employee of the applicant? Elizabeth Grinder was the supervisor, and she did elect yes here. She did underline the employee section. So I think we just need some additional explanation of that relationship that they had in order to ensure that she can, in fact, be an appropriate supervisor to sign off on these hours. So I would recommend that we move forward with a fair. I did look through the application to see if there was any explanation of that other than just selecting yes, that she was an employee of the applicant. So I would recommend that we issue a fair to this applicant to have Elizabeth Grinder supply a statement surrounding the nature of the relationship where she was an employee of Ms. Middleton. These are all of my applications. So we will move on at this point to applications number 14 through 22. These are assigned to Dr. Byra. They include Asha Fuller, Ashley McCleary, Jacqueline Contreras, Tori Passarelli, Cassidy Wagner, Nicholas Kleinefuss, Grace Brotherton, Jenna Montaz, Vargas and Vargas Clark. And as always, I apologize if I'm mispronouncing your name. If we ever meet in public, I will do my very best to pronounce them better next time. I do see before we move forward that maybe Heather Middleton has her hand raised and she is here. I would love for you to unmute. Yeah.
Thanks. I wasn't sure quite where to insert myself. I think she must have misunderstood the question because Elizabeth Ginder and I are not related in any sort of way, but my husband worked at the same company. He did not supervise me whatsoever during my accrual of supervision hours, but he like worked in the same building. We didn't share any clients. All of that was separate. So she may have thought that's what was meant, but that's the only thing.
We'll probably still issue a fair because she will either need to submit a corrected form that states she was not your employee at the time that she was your supervisor because she did underline the employee section or supply a written statement that says, you know, an explanation of the situation. But as of this time, the form that was supplied by your supervisor has that information on there. So we'll need your supervisor to supply an explanation.
Okay. So and will you be, you'll send that out to her.
I was just about to say that. So a FAIR is a first additional information request. Board staff will write up exactly what is needed and we'll send that out. The FAIR will come to you. Board staff, does that go to the supervisors or just to the applicant?
FAIRs are issued to the applicant, but they can direct the applicant to compel someone to do something on their behalf.
Okay. So that letter will come to you, Ms. Middleton, and then it will be on your behalf that you have to go out and speak with your supervisor, Elizabeth Grinder, to have her complete the actions that were compelled in the letter.
Thank you.
Absolutely. I'm glad you were here. Hopefully that helps.
Yeah.
Okay. I also see that we have someone with the initial CF that has their hand raised. Is this related to an application that has already been reviewed?
Yes, it is. This is Shaughnessy Franklin. I wasn't sure where to insert myself either. So, yes.
Dr. Davey, would you like to hear from Ms. Franklin?
Don't know that we need to, but yes, of course, she's here.
I was just wanting to clarify the information that you guys are missing and just to see where that needs to be submitted and how I need to send it over. That was all.
Yes, Ms. Franklin, thank you so much. Yes, board staff will be in touch. It's going to be that supervisor, the Excel spreadsheet. It's going to be that supervisor, multiple supervisor form. You actually only had one supervisor, but just that you started to fill it out, and there were just several columns that were left blank. So completion of that information is what board staff will work with you on. And as I mentioned, as long as you guys get that cleaned up, we will get this moving forward. This is not something you will have to wait another month to get moving forward to the psych board for full licensure, but you do need to respond to board staff as quickly as possible once they reach out to you.
Okay, perfect. Thank you.
Okay, back to you now, Dr. Byra. Applicants number 14 through 22.
Chair. So I have three chunks. I have my clean list. I have some admin, hopefully just real quick clerical things to fix. And then I do have some questions. So I'm hoping some of the folks are on the line today. So first, my clean list. So my review of these applicants, including their applicants' education, supervised experience, examination performance, and declarations. I find them to be both administratively and substantively complete, and I recommend they be moved forward to the board. And that's going to be on number, let's see, number 18, Cassidy Wagner, number 19, Nicholas, oh dear, sorry in advance, Klinkelfuss, sorry. And then number 22, Vargas Clark. So those three were all complete. Next for admin, number 20, Grace Brotherton. Let me just pull hers up really quickly. So on the application, she listed her RBT certification and not her BCBA number on there. Again, it's just an admin thing. I'm hoping we can just swap that in and move it along. But just so that it is administratively complete, that would be fantastic. And then number, let's see, number 16, Jacqueline Gutierrez. There again, just an admin thing really quickly. The application, there's just in one spot her exam that she took her BAC exam on the 30th. Her application says the 20th. So again, I don't want to hold it up, but just so we are all in alignment and making those complete, if those could get fixed, that would be lovely. But my first question is for number 14, Miss Asha Fuller. So let me just pull up my notes here. So on the employment page, for employment, it says a clinical supervisor at Intermountain, and the primary area is behavior analytic in nature. So since we're not licensed yet, I was hoping, I do see Ms. Fuller on the call, if you could chat with me about whether or not you're being supervised. If yes, so what does that look like? And
Yes. So I am being supervised by Brian Van Meerten, who's also at Intermountain and a licensed BCBA here in Flagstaff. And what I'm doing currently is helping run assessments. I've conducted one parent training with his supervision before, during, and after. We're doing supervision documentation throughout the entire process, in-person supervision, and then telehealth when I'm meeting with families that are more remote up here. But that is it. I am not supervising any RBTs, no trainees of any kind. I have assisted in assessment processes and covered some sessions for RBTs who were sick, and that's about it.
okay. Unless my committee members have other questions, I'm fine with that answer to move her along for approval. Okay. Thank you for being on, Ms. Fuller. This helps everybody move your light around here. My next one is number 15, Ashley McCleary. Question here on the application. Oops. Here. So again, I'm under employment. And so Ms. Packinen, I'm not sure if this is something we can put on for agenda for next time as a systemic issue with our current application process. But again, Bloom Kids, listed as a BCBA in the primary area, being a yes. She states that she's living in Arizona. I'm not sure where Bloom Kids is located, but if we are indeed living in Arizona and practicing here, we want to make sure it's under supervision. So I'm not sure, is Miss McCleary on the call today?
Yes, hi, I'm on the call. Do I need
Okay.
you do, does my video need to be on?
That's a good question for someone else to answer.
I think I can just put it on. Hi.
Okay, perfect. Thanks. So Ashley, talk to me about your current employment status, supervision. Is it occurring? If yes, how often? What does documentation look like?
So I do meet with a supervisor. I have not been documenting the meeting since after at the sorry, my words. I haven't been documenting since after my program ended.
Okay, so once you took your exam, is that what you're
saying? Yes, so once I got my exam and became BCBA, I haven't been documenting those meetings.
Okay, and that was in February of 2024?
Correct.
Okay, is that supervisor licensed in Arizona?
Yes, so I've been meeting with various supervisors and they're all licensed in Arizona.
Okay. So I'm gonna thank you very much, Ms. McCleary, for being on here and taking the time. Madam Chair, I'd like to kind of call on my fellow committee members in terms of what we've done in the past for documentation, in terms of what those requirements look like, if we have any. I'm just not sure what the precedent has been since you guys have been around a lot longer than I have.
I think one of the things that we have done is called upon the supervisors who provided that supervision since certified, but not licensed yet, to see what the nature of that supervision looked like. It is incumbent upon the supervisors to provide that documentation, to keep that documentation if they are providing those continued supervision of the cases, ensuring that, you know, it's not just a situation where you're meeting to discuss utilization, right? We're meeting to talk about your cases to ensure that there is a licensed behavior analyst who is overseeing those cases. So I think what we have done in the past is reached out to those supervisors via FAIR and asked for any documentation that they have or an attestation of the supervision that was provided.
Okay.
Yes, Madam Chair, and Dr. Byer, if I could just add, I think also a list of those supervisors so that we are comfortable with knowing that they were licensed in the state of Arizona at the time of supervision.
So, Ms. McCleary, correct? I'm trying to remember because your name does not say that on
you. Yes, I'm also with another colleague.
That's okay. Could you go ahead and just provide us the names of the supervisors who are licensed behavior analysts that you met with so we can articulate that in the letter that's going to be sent?
Yes, Jane Tamick. There's a name, her name is kind of prevalent in all the other things I've done. If you need to reference it, do you need a spelling of the last name?
Board staff, would you like a spelling? Yes, please spell for us. That would be
Tammik.
Dr. Byra, are you comfortable with FAIR?
Yep. Thank you, committee members, for using your knowledge of history, for that matter. Okay. All right. So, Madam Chair, she will get notified by board staff, right?
Yes. So as mentioned, for the other individuals who are receiving that FAIR, that is the first additional information request. It is a letter that comes to you from board staff, and it will articulate everything that is needed in that letter. It will tell you the date by which you need to get back that documentation and submit it in order to be seen at a particular full board meeting or to come back. Well, it'll be to come back here to the committee before we move it forward.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thanks, Madam Chair. And then Ms. McCleary, if you just want to slide it, yep, to your colleague there. Let's see. It's spelt differently on our agenda. So I'm sorry I'm sure if it's Passarelli as your Zoom or if it's Pasquarelli, but Tori, it's Ms. Passarelli, if you could come on, because I have the same question. We have you listed working in Arizona in a behavioral analytical role. Can you tell me about your supervision? Is it by a licensed BCBA and are you documenting it?
Yes. So we both work at Bloom Kids. It is in Arizona. I do live in Arizona. And I am being supervised by the licensed BCBAs that are here. And they're on my supervision contract, and I'm not supervising any trainees or RBTs or anything of the sort.
Okay. I have to pull up your application again, but under the, you know, are we participating in activities that are behavior analytic as primary selected? Yes. Yeah, so is that statement you stand by?
Yes. And okay. I am supervised and I meet with my supervisor we have it on the schedule for about once a week.
Okay. And do you have documentation to support that?
Yep.
Okay. Alrighty. Okay. With that, we have the documentation. It's happening once a week. That I'm fine, Madam Chair, if my committee members agree to move that one on. All right, that should be the end of my list.
My last name, sorry, I don't know if this matters. My last name is spelled wrong on the agenda, but it should be, it's correct with two S's, not C. But I don't know if that matters, if it was just a typo on the agenda.
Let's see. No, I just was feeling bad that I was pronouncing your name incorrectly. So my apologies.
No worries.
By way of reassurance, we do commit typos from time to time, but this enables us to ensure that it's correct on the board meeting agenda.
Okay. Yeah, it's S's, two S's, no C.
Perfect. Thank you.
Dr. Byra, forgive me if I missed this. I do try to check them off as we go. Did you review number 21, Jenna Montanez?
Oh, yep. Sorry. She's on my question list too. Thank you, Madam Chair. Yep. All righty. So for this one too, just employment status. Cortica is nationwide, or I don't know if it's actually nationwide, but I know there's more than one location, but it does have ABA assessor as the title. There's no end date. I don't have a location because of the way the application comes through. And so if she's on the call, that would be helpful to let me know, are we working in the state of Arizona at the moment? And if yes, are we being supervised?
Does look like she's here.
Hi there. Thank you guys. I am living in California. I am an ABA assessor, so I do assessments throughout the nation, like you said, Dr. Byra. So I'm staying in California, no plans or intentions to move to Arizona, but just completing assessments through telehealth.
For clients in Arizona?
Correct.
Okay. I'll defer to my fellow committee members, but it doesn't matter where you physically are living, it matters where you're practicing. And so whether you're living in California, Alaska, Connecticut, if you're even via telehealth seeing clients here, you need to be licensed or being supervised by someone who's licensed. But Madam Chair, correct me if I've misspoken or left anything out. So with those assessments, are you being supervised?
I haven't completed any assessments for Arizona yet. They're waiting to get all this stuff completed first.
Okay. All righty. So to date, you have not touched either in person or remotely anyone living in Arizona?
Yeah, that's correct.
Okay, great. Thank you for that. Okay, so that being said, committee members, I'm fine with that one going through as well.
Yeah, just one thing I would just like to clarify for the applicant is that, you know, if you mentioned that you're doing assessments, you know, outside of California, you do need to attend to those state regulations for each and every state, as Dr. Byra was alluding to. So regardless of where you physically live, if you are providing services to a child in state X, you need to make sure that you're adhering to state X's licensure act if they have one in place.
Yeah, definitely. I've gone through all the steps. Currently, it's just New Jersey and Texas. So going through, I haven't done any assessments with any other states until I've been completed and signed off with. So I definitely hear that and will continue to adhere to that.
Very good. Thank you.
I think that does now conclude all of your applications, Dr. Byra. I do see we have a hand up, but I do want to go ahead and move through the remainder of the applications. We have a hard stop for several committee members today, and I want to ensure we can get through all of the agenda items. If there's some remaining time at the end, I'll come back. We will now move on to Dr. Stenhoff's applications. These are applications 23 through 29. There is Ciridan Sanpundorn. I do apologize for that already because there's no way I got that right. Nicole Lands, Tiziva Bessler, Eric Kane, Danielle Scheivelbin, Karen Hans, and Colton Pack.
All right, thank you, Madam Chair. One application that is in my clean list, but I just wanted to point out, Dr. Hans had a second additional information request requesting additional documentation to meet the 1500 hours and also to have this, her supervisors complete and submit a supervision work experience form, which she met all of those requests from that second additional information request. So given that, with my review of the files, including the applicant's education, supervised experience, examination, performance, and declarations, I find them to be administratively and substantively complete and recommend all applications on my list to be moved forward to the board for approval. Madam Chair, with your...
There we go. This is all applications under agenda item number 6A. Is there a motion for these applications?
Madam Chair, so moved.
Is there a second?
Dr. Davey.
I see Dr. Davey is trying to second.
So fast, and then I went to that corner of my hot corner of my computer, and it immediately locked me out. Yes, I will second.
Okay. The motion has been made to move the applications forward as described earlier in this meeting. It has been seconded by Dr. Davey. Is there any discussion?
Madam Chair, just for the sake of it, you had applicant Jacqueline Contreras. Do we want to just make sure we've got her question solved since she would be part of that consent or part of that motion?
We had an exam date that needed to be addressed, correct, Dr. Byra? I think CF was the one who had raised their hand earlier. I am presuming that is Chauncey Franklin. That'd be my
guess. No, I think it was Jack. Yeah, we already answered her question. I believe it was Ben Contreras that maybe had her hand up.
Yeah, yes, I just had a question. I mean, it was just regarding my name. It was a typo and I just didn't want it to like reflect on anything moving forward. It just, my name has like a C in it and, or it has a C in, however, my legal name does not.
How about board staff will reach out, or you can reach out with board staff to make sure we've got the correct spelling. I'm assuming, as Heidi, as Ms. Pakkinen stated earlier, that we have your application, and if there was a typo, that we will go off of what you put on your application.
Okay, perfect. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
I too have a question. Sorry, I cannot find where to raise my hand. I think, Dr. Davey, you had my application, and I just wanted to make sure there's no fair. It was just an administrative thing that you need to move forward with mine.
That's correct.
Okay, perfect. Thank you.
Mr. Kane.
Quick question. Since my application, my address has changed. I live in Arizona, but I'm practicing in Los Angeles. Where can I make that change of my address? Do I do it on the application?
Madam Chair, I can answer that question.
Thank you.
You can't change it at when you are in applicant status in the portal. You can change it once you are licensed. Ideally, in this interim time frame, just email your change of information to Zakiya Malice, and she can change it on the back end of the system.
Thank you very much.
Okay. Is there any further discussion? We do have a motion on the table. All in favor, say aye.
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 Aye. All opposed, nay. The motion carries. We will move to agenda item number 6B. Agenda item number 6B is behavior analyst applications for licensure by universal recognition. We have two applicants under this agenda item. There is Megan Basile and Kyle Glocker. I am the lead for the first application, which is Megan Basile. When I reviewed Ms. Basile's application for licensure via universal recognition, everything appeared to be in place, including the education, previous licensure, in good standing, establishing residency in the state of Arizona, having that licensure in good standing for at least a year in another state. I have no reason to hold this back and would recommend that it moves forward to the full board for approval for licensure via universal recognition. Dr. Davey, you have the next applicant.
Yes, thank you very much. I have applicant Kyle Glocker. Similar to your applicant's application was complete. I would just like to note that he went to the fine university up in Spokane, Washington, and my alma mater, Gonzaga University. So that also excites me that we're going to have another Zag in Arizona. His
favorites, Dr. Davey. You can't play favorites.
I'm not playing favorites. I'm just excited to have additional Zags in the lovely state of in the Copper State of Arizona. Yes, residency has been established. He holds a license, and I'd like to see him move forward for licensure in the state of Arizona.
We have two applications now that we are recommending move forward to the full board. Is there a motion?
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
Okay, the motion has been made by Dr. Davey. It's been seconded by Dr. Stenhoff. I'll pick one. You guys were in chorus. Is there any discussion? All in favor, say aye.
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 All opposed, nay. The motion carries. Agenda item number 6C is request for approval for telehealth registration. We have no applicants under this agenda item. Agenda item number 7 is proposed new agenda items for future meetings. Dr. Byra, I know you said one earlier. Over to you.
Yeah. In reviewing applications, I am just seeing a systemic issue with the data that's being presented to us. And it's not the applicant's fault. Like, we don't ask more questions in the application, but we could. I did send a mock-up of what we could ask in the software. I built it in my own software and I've sent it to Ms. Pakanon. I'm hoping that her and I can review that soon. And then I'm not really sure the process is with sharing with everybody else, but I'm hoping it will cut down the amount of time we have to spend in discussion with applicants who do come to the call, and then also not have to render fares for things being simple questions to circumvent that. So that I'd like to be able to chat that next time if possible. And Ms. Pakanon, you can correct me if we need, you know, 2 months from now to put it on an agenda for you and I to meet or whatnot, but I'm hoping sooner rather than later to get that organized.
Yes, Dr. Byra, my goal is to have it, the next meeting is actually later this month, just by virtue of the way, you know, the month and the calendar are structured. So January 31st, I would expect us to be ready as long as you and I can get together.
Perfect.
Sounds wonderful. Dr. Davey?
Just Ms. Pakanon and myself and Dr. Davis Wilson have been working on some cleanup language, and just want to make sure that when that's ready, Ms. Pakanon, that we have that on the agenda as well with regard to supervision and such. Thank you.
Dr. Byra?
With that area, are we able to look at that before the meeting, or is this going to be presented at the meeting?
I'll let Ms. Pakanon respond, but as we, I think we have one more meeting with Dr. Davis Wilson to go over it, and then it'll be part of the, like, a larger packet to be reviewed as a meeting would be my guess, but I defer to Ms. Pakanon.
And maybe we include them on the same agenda, even if we can't, you know, of course, to speak to what Madam Chair said earlier today, because everything this committee, you know, wants to implement in terms of, you know, policy matters needs to go to the board for form, you know, to be formally approved. I don't see why we couldn't have the conversation for both items together, understanding that, you know, one piece of this may not be able to move forward as quickly while, you know, we achieve the requisite approvals from the board. And let's acknowledge system development time. It is what it is. I can get a cost estimate. So I don't want to stall anything unnecessarily when we can make, you know, at least partial progress on it. I think that's what I'm trying to say.
Okay. Are there any other proposed agenda items to be added to future meetings? Seeing none, we will move on to agenda item number 8, which is adjournment. Is there a motion?
Madam Chair, mm-hmm. Since it's your last, I don't even think you need it. You can exercise your right. As your last right as chair, why don't you exercise this and adjourn?
I can just be like, we're done.
Yep, as your final act as chair.
Okay. Well, I hope everyone has had a wonderful new year. Everyone has stayed safe, and we will see everyone who wants to come back for the longer meeting at the end of the month. We will see you then.
Thank you, everybody.
Thank you. Thank you.